Welcome to Reviews That Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair.
Blair, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. It is the end of March. We made it through March.
Yes, sir.
And this is officially our very first bonus episode of the year, not including selection shows. That's pretty wild.
That is wild, yeah.
We have to do better.
Yeah, that's 3 months in now. Almost
we've been
four.
A little busy. But that being said, we are reviewing a movie that we've been talking about for a long, long time.
Yeah.
We saw the first one in theaters a while back in 2023 and had a great time in theaters watching that movie.
Yeah.
And after a second one was announced, we knew we had to see it in theaters. It was a three-night event. We went night one. This week's bonus episode, we will be chatting about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Yay!
Runtime on this one, 1 hour, 40 minutes. Blairski, initial thoughts on the runtime?
It's fine. It's a good runtime.
Yeah, traditionally, that is a runtime in the sweet spot. We'll get into it in likes and dislikes, I'm sure. Fun facts, our bonus episodes are a little bit different.
Yeah.
So we won't do our usual segments that we love so much. We'll do likes and dislikes. That's pretty much it. But I do want to chat about one fun fact because you had brought this up.
Okay.
You had leaned over to me at one part in the movie and said, "Is that a new actor playing Christopher Robbins?" And I said, "Nope, that's the same guy." It is, in fact, a different person.
I thought so. I thought he looked a little different to me.
Looked a little different? I thought he sounded pretty similar. It is, in fact, I forgot to write down the name of the original actor who played Christopher Robbins. But the guy who's in this newest addition to the franchise named is Scott Chambers. We'll chat about him a bit later. But yeah, Christopher Robbins was recast for this movie. And Christopher Robbins was fine.
Yeah, he was good. He was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Let's chat about the rest of the fine folks who worked on this film, shall we?
Yes, do it.
This one directed by Rhys Frake Waterfield, also directed 2023's Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, 2023 Sky Monster, and 2023 Firenado. Pretty big 2023 for him.
Yeah.
He's also got a lot in the work as far as producing, writing, for this brand new franchise, fairy tale horror, I would classify it as
something like that. I just want to bring
storybook horror.
Yeah. I just want to bring something up. I read this morning, actually. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 3 has already been confirmed.
Not surprised. at all. They're building an entire franchise around those characters, as well as Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Captain Hook, Tinkerbell, Jiminy Cricket, who they're just referring to as Cricket.
Bambi,
but it's going to be a Bambi. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an entire franchise. So interesting to see what they do. But directed by Rhys Frake Waterfield, also written by Rhys Frake Waterfield. He is writing the upcoming Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. Also written by Matt Leslie, also wrote 2018 Summer of 84. And is writing the upcoming movie, Don't Open the Door, which sounds very much like a Grindhouse trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Don't go in the basement. This one starring, as we already mentioned, Scott Chambers as Christopher Robbins. Also starred in 2022's Bingo Queens, 2023's Megalodon the Frenzy, and 2023's Dr. Jekyll. He was actually a producer on the first Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Okay.
And I believe is going to be a producer in Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, a bunch of these movies in this universe. This one also starring Tallulah Evans as Lexi, also starred in 3 episodes of the TV show White Lines, 2 episodes of The Full Monty, and in 2021's On Islands West. This one also starring Ryan Oliva as Winnie the Pooh, Louis Santer as Tigger, Marcus Massey as Owl, and Eddie McKenzie as Piglet. Now, he's listed as just the voice of Piglet, but I couldn't find any listing for the actor who was the physical presence of Piglet. So we'll just mark it down as Eddie McKenzie. Synopsis for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, courtesy of our dear friends at IMDb. Not wanting to live in the shadows any longer, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, Owl, and Tigger take their fight to the town of Ashdown, leaving a bloody trail of death and mayhem in their wake. Boy, did they ever.
Yeah, they did. Not so much Piglet, though.
No, and that is something we'll bring it up right away here in likes and dislikes. We'll chat about Piglet in this movie or not in this movie. Excuse me. But before we do that, let's jump into one of the few segments we will be covering today, Kill Count.
Kill Count. The time of the show we count. The kills.
Now, Blairski, I know that you don't have a kill count for this one, but I think it's a good segue into our next segment, Likes and Dislikes. But let's quickly talk about a kill count or lack thereof. Now, is there a reason we couldn't find an exact number?
There is just way too many. There's bodies everywhere, especially the end of the movie. Yeah. It is just bodies everywhere, man. There's no way to count that.
Yeah, these are Piranha 3D numbers for sure. let's segue into likes and dislikes.
Likes. Dislikes. Likes. Dislikes. And everything in between.
The portion of the show where we chat about what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything in between. Yeah, there's an awful lot of kills in this one.
Ton of kills, man.
We had mentioned it. I've said it a couple times where it feels like the director realized there was only 30 minutes left in the movie and said, oh, wait, we need to kill everyone in this movie. It was a lot.
It was. Well, they spent so much time. Well, definitely a lot more time than the first one. Story building. There's a lot of story building in this movie.
They did. And they really tried to hammer home that story. What did you think of that story?
Well, I don't really care, to be honest. I literally just wanted to see teenage youths going into the Hundred Acre Woods and, you know, just getting picked off.
The story is not why you went to the movie.
No, not at all. It surprisingly kind of makes sense, though. It's not a totally out there story. But at the same time, it kind of is based on, you know, if you look back at the children's books, like we find out that Winnie the Pooh is actually Christopher Robin's brother.
Spoiler alert. I did not care for the story. But honestly, I feel like if they had mentioned any of that in the first part, in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the part one, it would have made a whole lot more sense. But all of a sudden you have, which I don't remember from the first movie, but it's like all of a sudden you have all this stuff where Christopher Robbins has seen a psychiatrist who's helping him look into trauma he suffered as a youth, where his brother was abducted. And it's like, wait a minute, they didn't mention any of this in the first movie. Not that I can remember.
Well, that's the thing. In the first movie, they hardly really had any storyline, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It just seemed like such a big missing piece of the puzzle that they all of a sudden were just like, oh, remember when Christopher Robin's brother got abducted? And it's like, wait, what? The story was very out there. But like you said, we didn't go to this movie for the story.
No, and it was kind of predictable. The second that they said his brother was abducted as a child.
You know. Yeah. It has to do with science and a mad scientist and... It's a lot. Back to the kills. I thought they were very gory, very over the top, exactly what we were hoping for. I did feel like a lot of the kills were maybe a little bit repetitive.
Yeah, kind of repetitive. Tigger kills most his victims the exact same way.
Yeah.
A lot of the kills are repetitive using the same methods, still quite gory. But.
Yeah, that being said, it is an absolute bloodbath. There's a scene towards the end that takes place at a rave. And it makes you never want to go out again.
Yeah.
Because no one survives. It is quite insane.
And I think it's just the two of them, Tigger and Pooh, that just take over that entire rave. It is a wild scene, man.
They go to town. Now, obviously, this movie had a little bit of a bigger budget or maybe a huge budget compared to the first part of the franchise. So we did see some updates with the costumes for Pooh and even Piglet. What did you think of the costumes in this one?
I love them. Okay, so I liked Pooh's a lot better than the first film.
Yep.
I like Piglet's a little better in the first film because he had the big tusks. He did not have those in this
movie. No tusks, yeah.
But what really stood out to me was the costume of Owl, especially.
100%, yeah.
Owl's costume was so freaking cool. Tigger looked really cool as well, but something about Owl just looked very menacing.
Oh, it's so excellent. I don't know, for any of you who have seen, it's the newest Into the Spider, or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
There's a scene earlier on in the movie where Spider-Man is fighting the Vulture, but the Vulture is like Renaissance era Vulture. Okay. And that's what it reminded me of. The costume of Owl reminded me of Renaissance era the Vulture from Spider-Man. Very cool.
I haven't seen him, but his face, especially with his like big beak of a nose, it reminded me of Danny DeVito's Penguin.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Yeah. And then Tigger looked really, really cool as well. The tail was a nice addition, of course.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And excuse me, but a lot of their kills in this movie obviously had to do with the claws.
Yeah.
And Tigger goes to town with those claws for sure.
Oh, does he ever, man. And it is really cool when Owl does his kills when he's flying and he swoops down and picks people up like they're prey. I thought that was a nice touch anyway.
I did as well. There was one really cool scene towards the beginning where a father and a son are out looking for birds or bird watching, and Owl does swoop in. There is another scene where Owl is flying beside a car and it looked very made for TV.
Yeah.
But it was honestly, that's where a lot of the charm in this movie comes from. Is it still being, you know, even though it has a bigger budget than the first one, it still has that kind of low budget charm.
100%. 100%. Because it's still not a massive budget. I think it was only $1 million, which, I mean, it's a big budget, but compared to the movies out there, it's not.
I was going to say, in the movie business nowadays, $1 million is nothing.
100%.
You know, I did like, though, that clearly the costumes, the masks of Pooh and Piglet had been updated. You said you liked them a lot better than in the first film. What I liked about that is they were really showcasing off those masks.
Yeah.
There was a lot of close-ups, especially a lot of close-ups of like Pooh's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes. Yeah. And it looked fantastic. There was a lot of close-ups of Owl. I wish there was a lot more close-ups of Tigger. I felt like we didn't get a whole lot of Tigger. It kind of happened towards the end with the massacre at the rave. But whenever we did kind of get glimpses of Tigger, he was always shot in the shadows.
He was very much in the shadows.
And I'm curious if that has to do with, although the rights for the character of Tigger is in the public domain, the rights for kind of the classic picture that we see, the Disney Tigger,
the design of him,
is still under copyright by Disney.
That's quite possible.
So I'm wondering if that's why a lot of, you know, Tigger shots were done in the shadows where you couldn't really see the whole costume. Perhaps they're still trying to figure out their look of Tigger.
We also don't even see Tigger till the movie's done. And it's the opposite with Piglet. So we see a lot of Piglet the first half of the movie. He dies really quick.
Really quick.
Then we go a fairly good portion of just Pooh and Owl before Tigger enters the picture.
Yeah. I also thought that, speaking of Piglet, I thought that Piglet's death was a little anticlimactic.
It was, yeah.
It just kind of happened out of nowhere. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, well, he died really quick, but he's not really dead. He'll come back, which, you know, we don't see him again in this movie, but that's not necessarily saying that we won't see him in the next one.
All I'll say without spoiling is stick around for after the credits if you check out this movie for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. This one, what was I just going to say? I thought the death of Piglet was anticlimactic. I thought the ending also came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did.
Where it was just like, we have this giant massacre and let's speed everything up so we can run the credits.
Yeah.
Which is just like very indicative. Like we know, obviously now, I know that you had mentioned it before we got into likes and dislikes that there is going to be a third installment in this movie, which it's a no-brainer. The first one did really, really well. The second one, reviews-wise, is doing really, really well. I don't know how well they're doing for money, but clearly they were already setting it up for a third film, no matter how well it did.
Yeah, yeah. It's you can look at it how you want. At the end of the day, it's still a fun movie. This one did drag out. I want them to cut that storyline, that plot in half a little bit, and just give us some more spaced out kills instead of all of them happening at the beginning and the end. You know what I mean?
It was too much. The story was too much. And like at the end of the day, we went in to see your stereotypical slasher movie.
Yeah.
And then they maybe went too far with the story where it was just like, we don't actually care, because the story itself isn't the greatest story. I mean, it is a story nonetheless, but yeah. Like there was no nods to it in the first story, which really bothered me, or the first movie, which really bothered me in the second, when they've spent so much time on it.
Yeah.
It's like, it would have been fine if you would have even mentioned it once, even in passing in the first movie.
Yeah.
But well, I remember them doing that.
I do like the cartoon beginning, information beginning, where they kind of do update you on what's happened between the two movies. I'd really enjoyed that. The animation, the drawings were fantastic as well.
I'm actually surprised it took us that long to get to the intros, because we love our intros so much. And I think that's something, I know it's something that we brought up when reviewing the first movie, was the intro is just so excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. The intro was really good in this movie.
Just that total storybook feel. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. It was dark. It was, like you were saying, it got you completely caught up to where you are in the timeline, because I believe the movie takes place 5 years after the first one.
Is it that long? I know it's afterwards, but I didn't realize how long it was.
I could have sworn I read that it was 5 years later. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I agree. I thought the intro was excellent. One of the best parts of the movie, if not for all of these ridiculous over the top kills.
Yeah. No kidding.
Like we were saying, it's a slasher movie through and through.
It is.
One more thing that really bothered me, and I don't think I've ever complained about this in any of the movies that we reviewed, I thought the sound mixing was a little weird in this one.
It was a little off. Yeah. I didn't notice it too much. Like, it didn't take me out of it, but yeah, it was a little bit.
I honestly, I'm starting to chalk up a lot of these, like, oh, I can't hear, to my years of just like standing next to speakers at punk rock shows. But I could not, anytime Owl was on screen, I could not hear what they were saying.
Owl was tough to understand the dialogue. Tigger a little bit too.
Yeah. And it's like, awesome. They have these voices that sound really, really menacing. The sound of it is really menacing, but you can't actually make out any of the dialogue that they're saying.
But the dialogue I could make out, I did love. They threw in a lot of one-liners to throw back to the show. Like when Tigger's killing those cops and one of the cops says, "Let's bounce." And Tigger goes, "That's my line."
Yeah, really excellent. That was one of the few parts in the movie that got like a big laugh from the whole audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I love lines like that. Yeah.
And then at the end when Pooh goes, "Oh, bother."
Oh, bother. Yeah. So good. I love that.
Yeah.
Anything else you really liked about this one, really didn't like about this one?
We talked about it a bit, but the kills, they were good. There was a lot of decapitations.
Yeah.
Like a lot of lots of use of a bear trap and a baseball bat.
Yep. And I mean, along with that, the makeup looked really good. The blood, makeup, I mean, it was everywhere. Awesome. I thought it was great.
I feel like that's where a majority of the budget probably went to, is practical effects.
Makeup, practical effects, which is like, that's always, it always does it for us. Makeup and practical effects, we love it.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, this doesn't really coincide with the movie itself, but what did you think of the atmosphere in the theater itself?
So it wasn't actually pretty filled showing. The theater was pretty packed. It wasn't as wild as it was the first time we saw the first movie.
Yeah,
it was fairly quiet. As you said, we did get a few laughs from some of the one-liners, but for the most part, it was a fairly quiet theater. Although I didn't see anyone walk out, though. Everyone seemed into it, just not, you know.
Nobody walked out. And if they did, I would get that feeling. It's like, what are you doing? Did you not know what you were getting into?
Yeah, right.
I thought the atmosphere in the theater was a little bit boring.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that we loved so much about the first film was the atmosphere that we saw it in. The crowd was great. Everyone was having a great time, laughing in unison, chatting throughout. Like, it was just such a great environment. And this one was really a movie-going audience. It was quiet. Yeah. It was respectful, which is fine for any movie, but something like this, where it's 100%. Like, no, let's all laugh together. Let's all get it, you know?
But, especially when it's only a three-day event, you know?
Yeah.
It's only showing in theaters for that amount of time. Enjoy yourself, right?
Absolutely. And perhaps it has to do with the theater we saw it in as well. I mean, the theater we saw this one was a fancy theater. The first one, the first theater we saw it in, was not a fancy theater.
No, it wasn't. Very old school.
It was definitely a theater that you would expect, you know, people to chat and laugh throughout the movie with. But nonetheless, it was still fun to go and see it.
I'm glad we did. 100%.
Me too. There was no way we were not catching this in
theater. And we'll see the third one. We'll probably see Peter Pan, Bambi. We'll probably see all of them.
We'll see them all. Bring them on. Yeah. I've got nothing else for likes and dislikes or anything in between.
No, let's carry on, brother.
Okay. This is where we wrap up the show. This is where we give Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, its final rating. So Blairski, out of 5 improperly loaded dishwashers, what do you give Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2?
I'm going to give it 2.5 improperly loaded dishwashers out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. 2.5, I think, is a good, fair score. At the end of the day, it's more ridiculous than not.
Yeah.
It's certainly better than the first one, I thought.
We liked it. I also liked it better than the first one. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 or Terrifier 2?
Winnie the Pooh, that's the thing. It's this is my hot take, and it's my hot take, and I will go to the grave with this hot take. I do not enjoy I did not enjoy Terrifier 2.
At all.
No, you didn't. So even though I only gave this one 2.5 out of 5, I still enjoyed it more than Terrifier 2. And I think a lot of that comes down to the runtime.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind. I went and saw Dune Part 2 recently with a 3-hour runtime. And if the movie is good, I don't mind a 3-hour runtime. I know that Terrifier 2 didn't have a 3-hour long runtime. It was still a very long, it was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And 2.5 hours for a runtime of a movie that you do not enjoy feels like a 7-hour movie.
I agree with you.
Oh god, that is my hot take.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
With that hot take, yeah, I did not enough. Like that movie.
I've been wanting to ask you all week which one of those two you like.
Goodness. That being said, Blair and I will be in theaters to go and see Terrifier 3.
Yes, we will.
Which will be out this October 25th, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. If not for yourself, you'll do it for me and you'll do it for the pod.
I'll do it for my Blairski and I'll do it for all of you listeners out there. Oh, I'm glad we saw this. I'm glad that it was our first bonus episode of the year.
Yeah, me too, man.
Our apologies for it taking so long, but we just needed to wait for the right film to pop up.
And here it was.
We are planning on going to see another one potentially this week.
Yeah.
That might be a really fun bonus episode, possibly with guests. Could be a really fun bonus episode that we'll discuss and decide on later this week. But until then, this has been Reviews That Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair. Remember to stay scary.
And eat every sandwich. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Reviews That Scare. Make sure you check out our Linktree at linktree.com/reviewsthatscare. That's linktr.ee/reviewsthatscare, which has links to our Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Twitch, and many other things. If you'd like to email us, you can reach us at reviewsthatscare@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay scary and eat every sandwich. A proud member of Pod Nation TV.